Aren't you thankful for that day? 1999, fall of 1999 for me. And how about the day for you? Let's shout out all together for you, the day you were made whole, if you can remember the day, all right? Say it 1, 2, 3. All right, that's good. And if you don't know that day, tonight could be the night that you know for sure that you'll be with the Lord in heaven. That's our prayer, and that's why we have church, just so that people can be saved and know the Lord. And what a wonderful opportunity. Let's take our Bibles to the 150th Psalm, Psalm 150 in the Word of God. Hope that you all had a wonderful Christmas, and hope that you had a great time with family, and just a great day honoring the Lord and worshiping Him. And I sure thank the Lord for Pastor Broyhill giving me this opportunity. It sure is a blessing, and I sure am thankful for it, and don't take it for granted. If you're a guest with us tonight, I sure hope that you'll come back on Sunday and hear a pastor preach. But my wife and I, we're so thankful for this church. We love it to death. It's such it's family, isn't it? And I'm thankful for it. And you all have just taken me in, the guy from Philadelphia, taken me in and loved me and helped me grow in Southern culture. Amen. And I sure appreciate it. I'm still not there yet, but we sure love this place and think that the greatest days of Calvary Baptist Church are ahead. And I'm thankful for just this privilege. I want to be as transparent as possible. The Lord has helped me grow in some particular areas of my life, nothing that I've perfected at all. But about 6 months ago, maybe a little bit more than that, I started just doing a personal study in my own life on the topic of the praise and the worship of the Lord. And sometimes, if we're not careful, sometimes we can borrow terms. We can look at maybe an emergent, contemporary-type church, a church that's maybe worldly, and kind of get our views or opinions of everything is like this instead of Bible terms or biblical terms. And so I began to study, began to read the Word of God and study for myself, much of it from the book of Psalms, and we'll be there most of the evening. But I went to, when Pastor asked me to preach recently, it immediately went here, and something that the Lord's been teaching me, and I pray that it'll be a blessing and a help to you. I say that because I hope that as we leave here tonight, that this would be something that God would put into our hearts as something that we could grow with. I'm continually growing in this area. It's something that's been a burden for me, and I trust it'll be a help to you. Somebody say, well, here's it. This is the moment. This the music guy, he's finally preaching on music after being here for 7-8 years. And it's really not. You'll hear music referenced very few times tonight. I think it's a misconception that music is the only way that we worship the Lord. It's a big part, absolutely. We worship the Lord through our giving of our tithes and our offerings to the Lord. That's the way we worship God. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord through our response to the preaching of God's word. That's the way we praise and we worship the Lord. We can worship the Lord through our lips, through our conversations, through many different ways. And I pray that when we leave here tonight, we'd have a true realization of what it means to praise and what it means to worship the Lord. I often sometimes think about praise when it comes to the life of our children. How many of you have small children right now? Okay, would you raise your hand, please, okay? How many of you used to have small children? Would you raise your hand, okay? Once in a while, maybe not often, but my wife and I, maybe we're about to have a, you know, go to some place or whatever. We'll look at our kids and we'll say, if you're really good tonight, if you're really good, you know where I'm going with this. If you're really good, maybe we'll buy you some ice cream after church, or we'll go to Walmart, we'll buy you, you know, like a dollar toy or something like that, okay, or something. How many of you have ever done that with your kids, all right? If you haven't, you're extremely frugal or you're telling a lie, okay? But one thing, last week we went to Pigeon Forge in Gatlinburg. We had a great time with our family. How many of you have been to the Christmas store that's there in Pigeon Forge, okay? And so our girls are 5 and 4 years old, and our son Silas is 8 months, but he doesn't really know how to do anything yet. So I remember, you know, you had one of those conversations with your kids. You know, you kind of get down to their level. You look at them face to face. You know, you kind of just really talk to them. All right, we're about to go in this store. Put your hands to your side. Don't look at anything. Don't breathe in the direction of anything, okay? Just don't touch anything, okay? And if you've been in there before, it's a really wonderful place. It's all Christmas. If you're a Christmas lover, it's the place for you, okay? So we're in there, a lot of expensive stuff, lots of breakable things, okay? And so we're in there. All of a sudden, my dad and I are talking over here. The girls are kind of shopping over here. All of a sudden, we hear this crash, thud. I look over, and my five-year-old daughter, Elise, has got tears streaming down her eyes, and she's crying. And there's Joseph, part of the nativity, lying all over the floor, crushed, splat, okay? His legs are gone. Joseph is, there's only half of Joseph there, okay? I picked up the Joseph off the nativity. It said, on Joseph, it was $170. Thankfully, I went over and there was an old gray-haired lady, such as kind, as gracious as could be. I said, ma'am, I explained to her the situation. I said, my daughter, she was turning around. Her elbow bumped this thing by accident. And I told her, I said, how much do we owe you? How much can we pay for this? She says, oh, it's nothing. Don't worry about it at all. It's like, whoo, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? I was at that moment, I wish I had that conversation. We'll buy you some ice cream if you don't touch anything when you leave out of here. Why would we do that sometimes with our kids? It's just to thank them or praise them for doing a good job or something like that. What is praise? What is worship? And we'll look at that a little bit tonight. But I believe as Christians that we live in a society, including us, including Tom Delp, where we're dry, we're dead, we're critical, we're negative, we're complaining, we're down in the dumps of despair. Everything's awful. Everything's, you know, the world is falling apart. Everything's bad. Everything's just awful. Okay? I believe as Christians, our world and all of us need to see a praising believer. A Christian that loves to praise and to exalt the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Psalm 150 with me. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet, praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath what? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And if I were to ask you tonight, what is the greatest commandment? What would you say? What would you say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and thy neighbor as thyself. And you would be exactly right. And if I were to ask you this question, what is the commandment that's most often repeated in Scripture? Praise the Lord, or bless the Lord. Praise God, giving glory to the Lord. And that's what we want to focus tonight. Let's pray together, may we? Lord, I pray that you would guide my lips, please guide my heart. I pray, Lord, you'd help me not to say anything that you wouldn't want me to say. Lord, I pray that you would please help me to accurately preach your word. Help me to preach it with boldness and with conviction. Help me to preach it in your spirit. And Lord, we're asking that you please would help us to be different when we leave here tonight. I pray for our pastor that you please help him physically. And Lord, I thank you for this privilege to be gathered together this day after Christmas in your house. Lord, we love you and we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. There's a verse that our family has been memorizing together at home during the family devotions. It's in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is our, finish it, strength. You know it. The joy of the Lord is our strength. As I said before, we've got a lot of Christians, including this one, who's dry, we are critical, we're negative, we're in the dumps of despair all the time. And I believe that that is just a prime candidate for the devil to work. When we're weak, when we are lethargic spiritually, the joy of the Lord is our strength, is what the Word of God says. When we're joyful, we're strong. Can the devil still work? Absolutely. We'll see some of that in the book of Job in a little bit later. But the Bible tells us the joy of the Lord is our strength. And one of the ways that we can have joy is by praising the Lord. So let's look at a few things in this passage tonight. First of all, number one, if you're taking notes, what should we praise? Number one, what should we praise? Let's look back at verse number one, please. Psalm 150, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise what? Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise what? Him in the firm of his power. What should we praise? We should be praising God. Amen? Here's what the Bible says in Psalm 147 and verse 1. I encourage you to jot these references down. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praise unto God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. What is comely? That's not a word maybe we would use much today. The word comely, acceptable. It's appropriate. It's good. It's comely. Listen, the praise of God, listen, it's acceptable. It may not be acceptable with the world, but it is good with the Lord. Amen? Psalm 148 and verse 13 and 14. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 75, verse 1. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. Psalm 106, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 29, verse 2. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And here's what I've found that's been convicting for Tom Delp's life. As we go around in our society, in our culture, listen, we like to lift up ourselves. We like to exalt ourselves. We like to make ourselves look big. We like to prop ourselves up on a pedestal. Look at me. Look what I did. Look at all this and look at that. Social media has really helped with this. I think there's some wonderful things, and I'm on it just as much as anybody and probably way too much. But the truth is this. Glorying in self will not get us anywhere. Amen. Glorying in God. What did the Bible say in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10? But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Listen, what should we praise? We should first praise the Lord. Hey, Pastor mentioned this verse and on Sunday night. He must increase. John the Baptist is speaking. But what must we do? We must decrease. So here's the challenge in this first point. Praise the Lord. What's it mean to praise? Expression of warm approval or admiration of. It's the expression of one's respect and gratitude towards. It's also the expression of respect and gratitude as an act of worship. So what is worship? It's the expression of reverence and adoration for a deity we know as the Lord Jesus Christ. Adoration or devotion, honor given to someone in recognition of their merit. And by the way, the Lord is worthy of it all. Amen? There's a book that I've been reading in connection with this topic. Of course, the Word of God is the most primary resource. But there's a book that I've been reading by a former pastor in Stillwater, Oklahoma, Brother Dave Hardy. And he wrote a book called Worship in the Ear of God. Worship in the Ear of God. I encourage you to get it. He defines worship as this: the voluntary humbling of one person physically and spiritually in order to exalt another. And I would ask all of us to examine our hearts in this room. Are we daily, are we actively praising and worshiping who? The Lord. That's who we need to be worshiping. Not me, not you, not anyone. Singing and praising and making a joyful noise to the Lord. Let's look number two tonight. Can we do this? Look at number two. Where should we praise? What should we praise? We should be praising the Lord. Number two, where should we praise? Look back in verse number one, would you please? Psalm 150. Praise you, the Lord. Praise God in his what? What? His sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. I believe the psalmist is telling us here, listen, we should be praising God everywhere. Everywhere we should be praising the Lord. At home, at the workplace, at church, yes, absolutely. On the job, at the store, in the shower. When you're sing, how many of you sing in the shower? Okay, come on. All right, it's good to praise the Lord everywhere. Put a finger here in Psalm 150 or a marker and go to Psalm 100, please. Would you look over there with me? Psalm 100. How many of you love the Psalms? And then a blessing? Look over at Psalm 100. And look at verse number 1. Psalm 100, verse 1. Here's the what of worship. Make a joyful noise unto the what? To the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his, what's the next word, folks? Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with what? His courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy endureth is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Listen, the private praise and the private worship of the believer is essential. If it's not private, it won't come out in public. Public worship, honestly, it can be faked, because I've been there before. But private worship, it can't be faked, because the Lord knows. He knows every single bit of it. Amen. Private praise. And listen, if we're honest, this is where, Tom Delp, this is where we struggle with the most. Is the private reading, the private prayer, the private praise, the private worship of the Lord. Because we like to act one way around others, don't we? I do. We all do. Sometimes we try to put it on a facade. But God knows our hearts, doesn't he? Amen. He does. Look at verse 4 one more time, just a side note. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Are there times in Scripture where God tells us to ask for things? Absolutely. Call unto me and I will answer thee. Ask and it shall be given to you. There's times in Scripture we see God telling us to do that. But look at verse 4. It says, enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Do you ever talk to someone and the only time they talk to you is when they're trying to ask you to do something for them? It's kind of annoying, isn't it? They never try to encourage you or see how you're doing. Every time they talk to you, I need you to do this for me. I need you to do that. God isn't like us where he gets annoyed or anything like that. But can I tell you this? God wants us, when we enter in, we open the door, we go into God, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. When's the last time? Didn't ask God for nothing. Didn't want God to do anything for us. We said, Lord, and we just spent a half hour just thanking him for everything he's done for us. Amen. Get out a piece of paper and praise the Lord and thank the Lord for all that he's done for us. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Go back to Psalm 150. I'll read for you here a few more verses. Psalm 95, verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. Job chapter 1, Job lost it all. Children, his livelihood, his possessions. His wife turns on him. Eventually, after this, would lose his health. But he says here, after this, then Job arose, he rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down the ground, and worshipped, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a private part of this worship. Also, there's a moment in some of our lives where all of us at times or moments in the future will go through valleys, will go through struggles. Isn't it interesting? Some of the people that I've met that are going through the worst severe trials are sometimes the most praising Christians. Did you ever notice that? Psalm 34, verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's everywhere. It's always there. It's continually in my mouth. Psalm 109, verse 30. I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. I will praise him among the multitude. Everyone can see it. Hey, what's wrong with that guy? He's always praising the Lord. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord. What? Always. And again, I say rejoice. I want to ask all of us a question. Let's talk about our coworkers. If our coworkers could only view God through our praise, what would their view of God be? If our coworkers, the people that we rub shoulders with, could only view God through our praise, what would their view of God be? Are we going in there always complaining, always grumbling, always whining? Or can they look at Tom Delp? Could they look at somebody in this room and say, man, I want what that person's what that person has. He's joyful. He's excited about God. I want what that person has. Where should we praise? We should praise the Lord everywhere. I've told this maybe to the choir before, but I want to tell you. My dad, you'd have to know my dad really well, but he's kind of like me, really crazy, and just kind of out there in some ways. And he on Sunday mornings, every Sunday morning, he had this setup in our kitchen, like 25 speakers, okay? Not that many, but it seemed like that many, okay? And he would put on Christian music. That would be our Sunday morning alarm clock, okay? And as a kid and as a teenager, sometimes it'd be like, I mean, we wouldn't wake up to like the rooster or nothing, okay? Or like the alarm. We wake up to, you know, victory. It was loud, okay? That's what I remember waking up to. But as I get older now, I learned to appreciate it. My parents and my dad was helping me get into an attitude of worshiping and praising the Lord. Amen. We got to the house of God. Hey, we were ready. Now, Brother Tom, we shouldn't just be worshiping God in the house of God. Absolutely. We should be praising the Lord in private and everywhere that we are. My dad helped me with that. My dad in our church, he was the loudest guy in our church. Okay? And sometimes we would go to a visiting church. After a while, our home church people just got used to it. But sometimes we would go to a visiting church, hear an evangelist or a preacher preach. And he'd be back there, amen! And inevitably, there's somebody right in front of us. They would turn around and look at us, and you know, Brother Harper, you probably experienced something like that before, okay? And you know what? My dad didn't really care what other people thought about his praise.
Amen. That's good.
He didn't. I'm thankful that he taught me that. Because listen, as blunt as it and kind as I can say, I don't praise. We shouldn't praise for what other people think about us. We should praise who? To the Lord. Now, should we be crazy? And no, I think the Lord gives us wisdom and balance about that. But praising first the Lord everywhere. Number three, are you back there in Psalm 150? Why should we praise? We've seen we should be praising the Lord. We should be praising him everywhere. But why should we praise? Look at verse number three. Praise him. Excuse me. I said verse 3. I'm going to say verse 2. Forgive me. Praise him, look at verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. How many of you could testify tonight that God's been good to you? Amen. Way too good to you.
Amen.
Listen, Lord, the God in heaven is worthy of our praise.
Amen.
He's worthy of all that we can give to him. He's worthy of it all.
Amen.
Because of his excellent greatness, because of his mighty acts. Keep a marker there and go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. One of my favorite passages in Scripture, especially in this study. Psalm 107. Why should we praise the Lord? Because of his mighty acts and because of his excellent greatness. He's worthy. Look at verse number 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what? He's good. For his what? His mercy endureth forever. Verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Hey, if you're born again, child of God, he has redeemed you. He's redeemed me from the hand of the enemy. Hey, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
And we need to get back to, as Christians, saying so again. We've let the world quench our praise. Harness it. We've let the world stop our praise. Oh, listen, I'm not a big news watcher, okay? I watch it like election time and, you know, whatever, okay? But listen, if you watch the news for 5 minutes, you're going to be discouraged. Amen? Listen, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He's redeemed us from the hand of the enemy. Look at verse number 8, same passage, Psalm 107. Verse number 8. Oh, that men would what? Praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Look at verse number 15. Did God make this a mistake? He put it in here twice. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hey, look at verse number 21. Did he make another mistake for putting in here a third time? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31, you see it again. Oh, that men would what? Praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. In case you maybe don't believe me yet, Psalm 18, verses 1 through 3. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom will I trust? My buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemy. Hey, I will call upon the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Listen, no one in this room is worthy to be praised. God is worthy to be praised. Psalm 33 and verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Stand in awe. When's the last time we stood in awe of the goodness of God? Hey, I deserve eternity apart from God and the lake of fire for all of eternity. But God saved me when I was 11 years old. And I'm thankful that he did that. And he saved me. He's given me eternal life. And you know what? He's worthy of my praise because of his mighty acts and because of his excellent greatness. Psalm 7, verse 17. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Jeremiah 20, verse 13. Sing unto the Lord, praise ye the Lord, for he hath delivered the soul of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. You know the verse, Revelation 5, 12. Sing with a loud voice, worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and blessing and wisdom, honor, strength, glory, and blessing. Hey, folks, God is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of it. Amen. Let's give it to him. Yes, sir. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. Do you ever hear somebody say, I'm just not a good singer? Sometimes I'll ask people to be in the choir. Oh, you don't want to hear me sing. Maybe true. But God doesn't put that as a prerequisite for anything in Scripture. Here's the only thing that God says about singing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Doesn't it be polished? Doesn't it have to be proper breath? All this kind of stuff, okay? It says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. I'm all for training. I'm all for it. I'm all for sharpening our skills in singing. I'm all for it. But listen, I've met a lot of sharp singers. But give me someone that hasn't been trained, doesn't have skill, doesn't have ability, but they've got the touch of God on them. That's the kind of singer that God wants. That loves the Lord. They want to praise the Lord. A couple of months ago for our missions revival here at Calvary, our family was privileged to take out Brother Zechariah from Kenya. Amen, Brother Cole. And it sure was a joy. Didn't you enjoy fellowshipping with the missionaries? And our girls enjoyed talking to him and learning about him and over there in Kenya and everything. And he was talking about how much he's enjoyed America and how much he's loved America and how much he loves the blessings of God here. But I asked him, I said, Brother Zechariah, can you tell me what would be a difference that you see between here and America, maybe in Christianity or something like that? And here's what he said. He said, Christians in America are in too much of a hurry. We're in too much of a hurry. We'll put God on a clock when we come to church services. And listen, I'm as guilty as anybody. A couple weeks ago, there was a football game that went to overtime. I wasn't like, oh, going to overtime. This is the worst day of my life, okay? I was like, yeah, extra football. Yoo-hoo, yeah, come on, okay? Golfing, hunting, fishing, shopping, ladies, okay? Don't want to leave the ladies out, all right? Listen, we enjoy those things. We take the time that we want to enjoy those things. And I think there's a good balance to have. I'm thankful for our pastor that cares about his people's time. He wants to get them out at a certain time. But if Pastor Broyle goes 5 minutes over in his message and we're like, and we're getting like cold sweats and we're like fidgeting around and we're like, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Okay. We're in too much of a hurry to let the Lord work. And I looked at that Kenyan missionary. I said, sir, you're exactly right. Woe is me. Shame on Tom Delp. We rush in, we rush out, not even leaving time for God to work sometimes. And here's what I believe the psalmist is wanting us to remember here. God is worthy of everything that we can give him because of his excellent works, his excellent greatness, and for his mighty acts. Let's go back to Psalm 150, and let's look at number 4. Psalm 150, and look at point number 4. How should we praise? How should we praise? We should praise God. We should praise him everywhere. Why should we praise him? Because of his mighty acts and for his excellent greatness. Now, how should we praise? Look at verses 3 through 5. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the stringed instruments. Praise him with the organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals and the praise him with the high-sounding cymbals. Here's what I believe the psalmist is trying to express to us here, trying to challenge us here with. When you praise the Lord, give the Lord everything that you've got. He is worthy of all that we have. Psalm 103, many of you know it by heart. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? All that is within me. Bless his holy name. Not some of it, not part of it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Listen, he's worthy of everything that we've got to praise him with. Say, I don't know how to play an organ. I don't know how to play a harp. I don't know how to all this other stuff, okay? Listen, praise the Lord with everything that you can. Praise the Lord with everything that you've got. Psalm 48 and verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Psalm 66, 1 and 2. Make a joyful, what? Noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Not just praise the Lord. Listen, make it glorious. Hey, listen, our world has got their agendas, don't they? They've got their things they're going to march for. They've got those things that they're going to put picket signs up and go marching for. They've got their issues they want to talk about and put all over the news. But how about us as Christians? How about us that we've got the Lord in us? We've got the Savior of the world living inside of us. What if we said, listen, God, I'm going to praise you with all I've got. I'm not going to worry about what some coworker that's critical and negative thinks about it. I'm not going to worry about what somebody down at the job or some at the store or some family member thinks about it. I'm going to praise you, God, with all that is within me. Bless his holy name. The Lord is worthy. He's worthy of it. Psalm 138, verse 1. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will praise thee with my whole heart. The world will. They'll prop their agenda. They'll push their system. They'll do anything they can to make sure that what turns out for them will turn out for them. But I'm telling us as Christians, Tom Delp needs to get back to praising the Lord with all that we have. Sometimes we're too hidden. Like, well, praise the Lord. It's good. Okay. Listen, praise the Lord. Look at verse 6 of Psalm 150. Number 5. Who should praise? Who should praise? Let's see what the Bible says. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. Now, whenever I do this, there's always somebody that doesn't, so I'm going to scan the crowd to make sure everybody does, okay? Everyone hold up your hand, put it in front of your face, okay? Come on. This is elementary trouble. Okay, come on, just do it, all right? Now, blow on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. What is that? That's your breath. And if you're not breathing right now, maybe shouldn't be here, okay? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Hey, who should be praising God? Who should be? Everyone. Everyone should be praising God. Here's what God's convicted me about. This is not a suggestion. This is not something that fits my personality. It fits my personality, okay? This is a commandment from God to praise the Lord. Every single person in this room. Now, here's the truth. God has gifted every single person here with different personalities, with different abilities. But can I say this? All of us need in some form or fashion to be praising the Lord. It's not going to be the same way for every single person. It's not. Some people might, just when they hear a song or hear a verse of scripture, they might start crying. Somebody might not. Somebody might lift a hand, a holy hand to the Lord. Somebody might say amen. Somebody might thank the Lord in their heart. But anyway, we must praise the Lord. Psalm 40 and verse 3. Don't you love this verse? He hath put a, what? A new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and what? And shall trust in the Lord. How could God use you, your praise, your worship to the Lord to bring someone to Jesus? Wouldn't that be wonderful? John 4, verse 23. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Our pastor, we strive in the preaching of the Word of God through the music to bring, to preach, to sing, to proclaim the truth of the Word of God. But how is our spirit? How is our spirit when we come in here? We sang glory to his name tonight. We sang he touched me tonight. We gave. We prayed. How was our praise to the Lord? How was our worship? If you're like me, guilty, guilty, guilty. Glory to his name. Why is that light out up there? Sometimes things distract us or whatever. But what if, listen, what if every single person in this congregation came in here on Sunday, hey, I don't care who's sitting next to me, in front of me, or behind me, I'm going to praise, I'm going to worship the Lord with all I've got. What a service that would be. I wish I could take you to Chronicles and 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and talk to you about the service that was there, but I'm not tonight. Different message sometime maybe. What a service. What if the next time, tomorrow morning or tonight, when you open your Bible and you pray and say, Lord, I'm going to give it my all right now. Listen, you are worthy, God. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our adoration. You're worthy of all the glory I can give. Brother Tom, praise just isn't my thing. It's just not. I've been convicted with through this. Those of you, all of you that know me know that I just love sports, especially the Philadelphia Eagles football. You know what I'm amazed with? Man, we'll be passionate about our pro football team. We'll get up, we'll boo the refs, we'll cheer, we'll clap, we'll shout, we'll get fired up, we'll get up at 3 o'clock in the morning for a Black Friday special. Come on, all right? We'll do everything we can to be passionate about what we want to be passionate about. We will. We'll worship what we want to worship. We'll praise what we want to praise. And what I'm saying is from this portion of scripture, let's praise ye the Lord. I'm in Bible college, everything. I've heard this statement, and I think it's so true. I believe that we've allowed the Pentecostal movement to steal and rob us of our praise. He's too Pentecostal, okay? Listen, Pentecostal, they're heretical, false in their doctrine, their teaching. But the Pentecostals don't have an angle on the Holy Spirit that we don't. Listen, we've got the Word of God that commands us to praise the Lord, to give Him glory, to give Him honor, to give Him worship. He's worthy of it. And that is how the Lord's been teaching me. I don't believe the Lord's up in heaven. Tom Delp down there, he's giving me too much praise. Too much. Hold back, Tom. Come on. Listen. Praise ye the Lord. I share this, and I'm done. A couple months ago, how many of you know Miss Sandiford? How many of you know Miss Sandiford? What a blessing. She's the real deal. She really is. And when she broke her hip a few months back, I was privileged to go visit her at the nursing home at Universal. And I walked in there, and we made some small talk for a while. And I said, Miss Sandiford, how you doing? And this is what she said to me. And it's convicted me and challenged me ever since. Here she is with a broken hip, not where she wants to be, eating stuff she doesn't want to eat, in a place where she doesn't want to be at. She says, "Brother Tom, the Lord sure is teaching me a lot about how I need to praise him more." A lady in her 90s who walks deeply with God. "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Praise ye the Lord. What if we walked to our workplace tomorrow and they saw a praising Christian? What's different about him? I'm just doing something that's biblical. Yeah. Not here I am. Here's me.
That's right.
It's to the Lord.
Amen.
Our Father, we bow before you tonight. We thank you for speaking to us. Lord, I've strived just to be a vessel that you would use. Lord, I pray for the word of God that it would convict our hearts and challenge us. Lord, I thank you for so great salvation. Lord, you put a new song in my heart in praising to our God. I thank you for what you've done for me. I have two questions tonight for everyone in the auditorium.